One of the themes we are exploring through prayer and fasting in 2022 is this: a spirit of grace and supplication. This phrase finds its origin in Zechariah chapter 12. This is one of many passages describing a pattern of revival and spiritual awakening that has occurred repeatedly among God's people and the places they lived. This cycle is apparent both in the scriptures and also it's been repeated throughout the church's history. And the big idea is simply this, that there's this initial outpouring of a spirit of grace and supplication that catalyzes a cycle of revival first among God's people, and then a Jesus-centered spiritual awakening in a city or a region. So this is the question we're asking this year as the people of the underground. What if we earnestly ask the Lord to give us this initial outpouring of a spirit of grace and supplication that is needed to see the release of the more significant flood of citywide spiritual awakening later? There's a specific form of prayer that's mentioned here, supplication. And today we're going to focus on another form of prayer, but let's first do another quick review of what supplication is before moving on. Remember, supplication is an intense call for help from God, where we sense apart from whom we will be completely unable to address this problem we're facing. Supplication is that type of prayer that we go to when we're in situations where we don't know what to do, where we go beyond asking, where we go beyond seeking, and we begin to knock, 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 like that persistent widow in the parable that Jesus told. Interestingly enough, when Paul was equipping the disciples of Jesus in Philippi, he made a distinction between what you could call normal prayer and supplication. Isn't that interesting? One can apparently pray without supplication. So I wonder how many followers of Jesus never move beyond normal prayer into supplication. I wonder how many of us are missing the powerful intimacy and impact that supplication alone offers. Listen carefully to Philippians 4 verses 6 through 7 and notice the distinction he makes. Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition." That word petition also gets translated as supplication in other versions of the Bible. But notice he says, by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word that is translated as petition is also translated as the word supplication. The Greek word that's being translated as petition or supplication in Philippians 4:6 is the word deesis, which appears 18 times in the New Testament. The Greek word in this verse that's translated as prayer is prosuke. That appears 36 times in the New Testament. So 18 mentions of supplication, which are distinct from the 36 mentions of prayer in general. Now do the math. 18 is half of 36. We don't want to miss half of the life of prayer that the Lord is calling us to by missing the invitation to supplication. It's the combination of both prayer and supplication that leads to the peace of God guarding our hearts and our minds in Jesus Christ. So the first three guides in this theme have focused exclusively on equipping us to pray prayers of supplication. Please continue to use those to strengthen your life of prayer and total dependency on Jesus. Go back to those earlier prayer guides and podcasts. In fact, you can download the prayer guide and all the links for those guides and the podcasts are in there. But today with this fourth guide, we move on to the other key word in this phrase, which is the word grace. We're asking the Lord to pour out a spirit of grace and supplication. Grace. What a beautiful word. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. Stuart Briscoe says, "Justice is getting what you deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve." Ephesians 1:8, it says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of grace that he's lavished on us." Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 10. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, so that no one can boast. There is such a beautiful paradox in this phrase, a spirit of grace and supplication. We pray today for a spirit of grace, which will give us rest and shalom. We work from a place of rest in the finished work of Jesus. We battle from a place of rest in the gospel of grace. Now, this Sabbath rest doesn't need to create a lackadaisical attitude in us. We can also ask for a spirit of supplication, which creates that intensity and fervor in us to plead with our loving Father for His kingdom to come, for His will to be done. We can plead our case to this great judge for a great move in our city based on His goodness and His grace, waiting for Him to go before us and to keep His promises. Grace is the source, the fuel, and the foundation of supplication. So listen to this wonderful invitation today from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The writer of Hebrews is making a direct and clear connection between grace and prayer. If we're lacking grace, we just need to go to the throne of grace with confidence that we will always find more grace. In Jesus, we have access to never-ending, all-sufficient grace. If I sense a lack of grace for myself and/or others, I need to ask then, am I going to the throne of grace enough? Am I staying at the throne of grace long enough? Do I linger there, gazing deeply upon the source of grace who sits upon the throne of grace? One of the first and best friends of the Kansas City Underground, Dan Sutherland, simply calls this form of prayer chair time. He summarizes it this way. We all need daily chair time. I need to take my chair every day and set it in front of the throne of grace and then stay there, gazing upon Jesus, the source of grace. How amazing is it that you and I have a front row seat at the throne of grace? Let that sink in. You have a front row seat at the throne of grace. Listen to Jesus' invitation in Mark chapter 6. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So how can we accept this invitation? Try some chair time today. Take your chair and set it in front of the throne of grace. Here are 5 steps that will help you receive a spirit of grace in your chair time. Let's walk through these 5 steps, and then you can practice chair time immediately at the end of this podcast. So step 1, get your chair. Find a comfortable chair. Step 2, make sure your chair is in a solitary and quiet place where you won't be interrupted. Step 3, decide in advance to enjoy the silence. Decide in advance to enjoy His presence. Don't try to do anything. Don't try to make anything happen. Just bathe in the light of His glorious grace. Simply try to rest and receive. Actually, intentionally relax your muscles in your body. Intentionally slow down your breathing and breathe deeply, because you're breathing in grace and you need it. You're practicing what it's like to stop striving, to stop producing, to stop pleasing, to stop obsessing, to stop controlling, to stop doing, and simply be your naked self as you really are before Jesus and bask in His grace. That is unearned and unmerited. It's free. And then step 4, use your sacred imagination to see ultimate reality in your mind's eye. In other words, set your chair in front of the throne of grace. See Jesus sitting upon the throne of grace right in front of you. Lock eyes with Him. Remember in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, it literally tells us that God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in heavenly realms. Let it become as vivid as possible in your mind's eye. Step 5, be kind to yourself when you're distracted or you drift. And remember to spin off. So thoughts, worries, and concerns will likely distract you and invade your rest. So don't beat yourself up. Realize that when you notice the distraction, you actually just woke up again And Jesus is proud of you for noticing that. In Psalm 37:7, it commands us to be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. And that's our posture during chair time with Jesus. We're there. We're still. We're waiting on Him. Waiting for Him to speak if He wants. Waiting for Him to show up with a particular symbol or maybe a message for us. Or waiting for Him to set the agenda. But we just wait. And the Quakers, they recommend a concept that they call spinning off. They discovered that when they got still to spend chair time with God, their thoughts would race to errands to run or work to be done. So they would intentionally capture the thought and then spin it off. So what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, one Quaker recommended that you picture a box next to the throne of grace. When the distracting concern comes up, let's say a project at work that's breathing down your neck, imagine a symbol for it and then place it in the box. Spin it off to Jesus, put it in the box, give it to Jesus to address later, and then move your eyes back on Jesus' face. If you're more kinesthetic, well, keep a pad and pen close by and jot down quickly with just one or two words, whatever random thought pops up that's distracting you, and then close your eyes and move the eyes of your heart back to Jesus' face again. And then step five. Stay longer at the throne of grace than you have before. Set a goal before you begin for how long you will stay at the throne of grace, and also for how often you will practice chair time. If you've never tried chair time before, start with a short goal, maybe 5 minutes. If you've already practiced silent prayer, consider staying longer than you ever have before. The great people of prayer in the history of the church recommend at least 20 minutes of silent prayer each day. Now, don't let that goal intimidate you. Start where you are and slowly extend your chair time each day. And then set a goal to make chair time a regular part of your life. Let's say for the next month. Take it on as a great experiment. See if peace and grace don't grow in you. See if your capacity to hear the voice of God, if it doesn't increase. See if you find yourself learning to better move in sync with the unforced rhythms of grace pouring forth from the throne of grace into you. So it's time to begin. Find your chair. Find a quiet place. Engage these simple steps. And then read this passage quietly to yourself and begin your chair time soaking in grace. After I read this verse from Hebrews chapter 4, I will no longer speak, and there will be a time of extended silence with the quiet music playing underneath. May God bless your chair time with a spirit of grace. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.